Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
It's St. Paddy's Day.
It is the closest that the Irish will ever get to Christmas.
Faith and Begarna and Aaron Gobrach. It's St. Patrick's Day again on the Bob and Sherry Show with the Shillelagh Totin' Bob McLacy.
They're always after me, Lucky Charms. Why's everyone always laugh when I say that?
And the lovely lass, Sherry O'Lynch.
Well, I can say that. I'm Irish.
No, you're not. I'm Irish.
And now from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, two people that wish you're in heaven a half hour before the devil knows you're dead. It's Bob and Sherry.
Well, welcome to the Bob and Sherry Show, and happy St. Patrick's Day, which is today, as a matter of fact. I think St. Patrick's Day is becoming, as Sherry said the other day, like Halloween. It goes not just for a day or so. It goes for like a week and a half or 2 weeks. And I'm thinking drinking has something to do with that. But anyway, happy St. Patrick's Day. Hope you have a little parade or something or getting together with some friends. Would you like to hear some Irish slang words that most of us don't know, but you might, you know, be able to incorporate them into your everyday, if you like them, everyday vocabulary? The first one is a ride. A ride is an attractive person, but it can also refer to something else, and you can probably guess what that is. A gaff. It's another word for house. You might hear a teenager say, "We've got a free gaff." That means their parents are not at home and they're having a party. A gaff. Chipper, a fast food shop that sells deep fried foods like fish and chips. You know, they love fish and chips in Ireland. They love fish and chips in Great Britain. We have them in the United States, but it hasn't caught on like it is over there. It's like McDonald's over there. Bold. In the U.S., it usually means courageous, but in Ireland, it means naughty, as in bad behavior. Oh, he's a bold one, that one. Plaster, that's a Band-Aid. Mankey, M-A-N-K-Y. This refers to something dirty, disgusting, or rotten that can be used to describe anything from the weather to leftovers found in the back of the fridge. Oh, boy. That celery looks a little manky. We got to get rid of that. Langered. A langer is a fool or an idiot. And being langered means being incredibly drunk. Ugh. He got langered last night. Look at him. He's falling all over the place. Scarlet. It means embarrassed, as in the color of your cheeks when you're embarrassed. That's
you blush. Yeah.
Yeah, you blush. Yeah. Savage. Savage is something awesome, excellent, or really great. Now, that sounds like something that American teenagers would say. Has savage been part of your girl's
vocabulary?
Oh, my
gosh, yeah.
Yeah. It started, I guess, in Ireland. The messages. If you're getting the messages, you're running errands or grocery shopping. Donkey's years. What do you think donkey's years?
Long time.
How did you know that?
It
didn't know that.
It shows up in books that I read. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Books.
Yeah, well, I'm an ignorant fool. I don't read as much as you do. And finally, the black stuff. It's St. Patrick's Day. What is the black stuff?
I don't know. I don't even know how to begin to guess at that.
It's a pint of Guinness, the beer.
Oh.
Because it's so dark. Did you know that Guinness has less alcohol in it than a regular beer?
I've read that. To me, Guinness is just so filling.
It is filling.
It's like drinking a meal.
I tried to switch to it because it's less alcohol. And I poured one where I would usually, Mary and I would have a drink or a glass of wine. I poured a Guinness. This was about a year ago. And she said, "Why are you drinking that?" And I said, "You know, it tastes good. Mick Jagger drinks it, and it has less alcohol. It's got 4.2% alcohol as opposed to 5.5 or 5.2 of other beers." And she took a sip, and she said, "This tastes like bad cake." and ruined it for me. Now every time I take a sip, that's all I think of. Do you know that she and I have put up, and she doesn't always adhere to it, but she tries. If there's something that she feels is disgusting, not very good, or lesser of what I should have, she is forbidden to make a comment on it if she takes a bite. Like, I got some sardines, because I don't know, you told me one of these things on the Bob and Cherry
Show.
Good
for you, yeah.
That they were good for you. It's like, I got some sardines, and I opened it up, and I said, well, I'm going to have these sardines over here. She goes, what is that? That smells disgusting. And look, what is that stuff that those things are in? That's disgusting. It's hard to get it down, because, you know, they are a little greasy, right? You have to embrace sardines for your own health. But now I don't buy them. Because I swear to God, she'll hear the crack of the can and come running in, look at it, put her finger in it and say, that's disgusting, and walk away. I don't want to live alone, but there are moments.
I'm going to start a GoFundMe.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can you help this man be allowed to eat his weird food in peace?
I'm out there getting my messages, you know, with my grocery list. I'm having some of the black stuff. And I feel languid because I'm eating sardines. Happy St. Patrick's Day. We have coming up in just a little bit, Morons in the News. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
It is true crime time, and today's story involves an iconic rock song that everybody knows.
Yes, it does. And the loss of a musician that not many people do know, despite the fact that he has done so much. His name is Jim Gordon, and he was born in Sherman Oaks, California. He was a member of a group of session players famously called the Wrecking Crew. And he was a protege of the drum legend Hal Blaine, who has appeared on so many records that were number one. Blaine said, when I didn't have the time, I would recommend Jim. He was one hell of a drummer. He was featured on recordings by John Lennon, Cher, The Byrds, Jackson Brown, Joan Baez, Alice Cooper, Tom Waits, George Harrison, Tom Petty, Yoko Ono, and Carly Simon's You're So Vain. This guy really was one heck of a musician. He was also credited with writing the famous piano ending to Layla. And here it is. Jim Gordon said that he wrote this. Since then, organist Bobby Whitlock said he plagiarized it. It was something that his ex-girlfriend Rita Coolidge had written. Coolidge was Gordon's girlfriend and accused him of physical abuse, but that is not even the darkest part of it. Despite all of these things that Jim Gordon did, including the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds, which is considered the first or second best album in the rock era ever recorded. Despite all of that, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia and was serving a prison sentence for killing his mother in 1983. And he died in California in a state-run medical facility. He died on Monday of natural causes, 77 years old. The heartbreak that's involved in this man's life is just extraordinary. The fact that he played on some of the biggest songs, some of the most important songs in recent musical history is breathtaking. And the fact that he suffered emotionally and then killed his own mother is just absolutely heartbreaking. You just say, could no one have stepped in there? Could there not have been something that would have stopped him from going down the pike and ending up this way?
Well, schizophrenia is one of the most serious mental health diagnoses you can get.
It is. Yeah.
And it was not well understood then.
Right.
And I think maybe he didn't have the support.
Obviously.
And care that he needed.
Obviously, right. I wonder how he lifted, if it was true, how he lifted this piano part. Did he just hear his girlfriend playing this beautiful piece of music that is, you know, almost incongruous to the rest of the song? It just comes out of nowhere and lets you drift away after you hear the story of Layla, which, of course, was Patty Boyd, George Harrison's wife.
So we're probably never going to know if it was a conscious act of plagiarism or if, you know, the riff that she was playing around with writing a song just kind of lodged in his head. I mean, you're not going to know.
Unless she sits down with People Magazine or what I just read was from Rolling Stone magazine. Unless she sits down and says, this is how this happened. Boy, I'd be interested in hearing from Rita Coolidge at that point. You know, she was married to Kris Kristofferson, too. She was an amazing singer. Yeah, go ahead.
This song, Eric Clapton, this musician, all of the people involved, there's a lot of darkness swirling around this one.
Isn't there? To Layla. And it's just so revered.
It is a song that is just haunted with the real lives around this.
Clapton was longing for Patty Boyd, Harrison's wife, and wrote this song. And they had an affair. So you're right, the darkness was everywhere on this song. It's Bob and Sherry.
Gentlemen,
here we go.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't be a moron.
With morons in the news.
We are not going to tolerate it here. We are just not, said Westmoreland, Pennsylvania District Attorney Nicole Ziccarelli. And she's talking about a year-long investigation. Through the investigation, the police were led to uncover a business that was selling a lot of illegal drugs, including marijuana and THC. Marijuana is legal in a lot of states, but it's not legal in Pennsylvania. Police said that they were ingesting it, they were eating it, they were smoking it, and it is illegal. So the worst part of this is the place they were selling it was near a school. If you're selling, this is a quote, if you're selling illegal THC products to anyone, especially targeting children, we will launch an investigation and we will prosecute you. So how did they become suspicious about this one particular place? Because there's a lot of places that sell vape stuff, right? Well, the name of this vape store is Keeping It Glassy. And I'm just thinking, if I'm a cop and I'm driving by and I look over at a strip shopping center and there's the laundromat and there's the bar and there's a little shop called Keeping It Glassy, I might want to investigate that. And that's what they did. What a bunch of idiots running that thing. Sherry?
Today's moron of the day are a pair of British dudes. One of them's 49, the other one's 52. They went into a bar in Madrid and posed as millionaires and began buying beautiful women drinks. They ended up buying 90 glasses of champagne. And they racked up like a $2,500 bar bill. And the bar staff let them do it because they had been in that bar before and they'd run up a bill close to $1,000 and they'd actually paid it. So the bar staff thought they were legit. Mm-hmm. Well, after buying more than 90 glasses of champagne for all the lovelies in the room, they refused to pay their bill. Bartenders called police. Police showed up, and then the two men became violent with the Spanish police who outnumbered them by 10 to 1. So clearly they weren't just buying champagne for pretty ladies. They were also drinking some of the champagne they were buying for pretty ladies. So they get arrested, and they get brought into the station house in Madrid. And not only did the two men not even have enough money to be close to millionaires, but they couldn't even tell what they were doing in the country because they'd so overserved themselves. That's one of the first things when you get arrested for pretending to be a millionaire. The first thing in another country, cops will say, "What brings you to our fair country?" And if you're too drunk to answer, you're going to be the moron of the day.
Yeah,
right. You can hop over to the Bob and Sherry Facebook and take a look at this really fancy club that they were racking up the tab in. And that is Morons in the News. Now, coming up, it's Friday. Happy St. Patrick's Day, by the way.
Right.
That means the People's Movie Critic. He went to see Scream 6, and he's got his review for you. We've also got Irish comedian Jarlath Regan and the story of Ireland's last leprechaun. Let's see if you believe. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Sherry and I've had Nicholas Sparks, the author, on the show several times right here in the studio. And he wrote a book called Nights in Rodanthe, which was about a couple having a romantic encounter in this old, old house that was built literally on the beach over the water in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And Richard Gere starred as the male lead in that, and it was a very popular movie. That house, a few years ago, was swept into the ocean because of changing ocean currents, and another one just bit the dust. Totally went right into the ocean and was swept away. And if you're wondering, here's the local quote. "The owner will be responsible for the cleanup of their property and the debris on the Park Service property. We are patrolling the surrounding areas and will be decertifying other structures for occupancy." So these houses that have been there for 100 years are gone. And not only that, if you own it, you got to clean it up and pay for that. I have stayed in one of those houses when I was shooting television once. They're very old. There's no air conditioning. But, boy, you want to talk about being right on the water. You are right on the water. And it's a place that even people who live in North Carolina, many of them never go their whole lives. It's like 6.5 hours drive, because North Carolina is a very wide state, to get there from a city like Charlotte. So very sad. You hate to see that happening. But it happens because to replenish the sand would take $30 million, and you'd have to do it again in a few years. Don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, your heart goes out to the folks that own those things.
Shocking, this is Bob, isn't it?
It is. This is Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, ORIGIN.com, code RADIO10. Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, ORIGIN.com, code RADIO10.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
It is time now for the People's Movie Critic and his review of Scream 6. Hey, Lamar.
You know, I'm going to say, I've always liked the Scream movies as much as I can like any slasher movie. You know that's not my favorite, but it's always been very violent and it had the great jump scares. But it was also very tongue-in-cheek, which I really appreciate. Now, if you quizzed me on them, I would not score very high on trivia about them because they all sort of seem to run together. But for me, the characters, Dewey, who's played by David Arquette, and Sydney, who's played by Neve Campbell, and Courtney Cox as Gail Weathers, they were all well-defined characters, and it was fun to watch. But they finally killed Dewey, and they refused to pay Neve Campbell. But we still have good old Courtney Cox as the obnoxious reporter, and she does her normal great job. But the other big change is They left Woodboro, the little small town, and they've moved to New York City. Because evidently, the only people in Woodboro who weren't killed by Ghostface were actually Ghostfaced under the mask. So there's nobody left there, evidently. So I personally think that in this movie, they missed a great ending by not having the Ghostface character mugged and murdered in the streets of New York. That would be so ironic, and it would be hilarious. But I'm giving this away. That's not the ending of the movie. Sadly, the movie is filmed in Montreal, pretending to be New York. So you can't expect this exciting chase scene through Times Square or running up the Statue of Liberty. But the good news is there's a great action scene in what could easily pass as a New York bodega, and it was very good. Sam and Terry Carpenter from Scream 5, and they're played by Melissa Barrera and Gina Ortega, which Gina Ortega, if she's not in everything, she soon will be because she's awesome.
That's right. She is.
They've moved to Saturday Night Live.
She's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, in her short career, boom, she's on Saturday Night Live. She's done
20
great.
20 years old. Yeah.
But they've moved to New York to start all over again. And joining them is brother and sister Chad and Mindy, who's played by Mason Gooding and Jasmine Savoy Brown. They also survived Ghostface, so all four of those are together in New York. And despite there being a serial killer loose in New York, home of the largest police force in the world, there's only one detective assigned to this case, and it is Detective Bailey, who's played by Dermot Mulroney, and whose daughter, Quinn, is in the friend group of the victims. This and the new guy that's joined the group are just a couple of the red herrings that keep us guessing on who the killer might be and who he or she will be killing next. There's so many people that you go, oh, it's him, oh, it's her, oh, it's him, oh, it's her, but it's not. Now, there's no real plot to explain other than this ghost face guy or gal is obsessed with all the other ghost faces before him or her and leaves a calling card referencing each of them at each murder scene. And they did come up with a creative way to bring Kirby Reed, who's played by Hayden Panettiere, back. That's going to be a surprise to everybody, but you'll recognize her when she's there. Now, the jump scares are plentiful, and for most part, they work. And there are a few edge-of-the-seat moments that kind of stuff is sort of hard to pull off in the sixth movie of a series, but they do. The movie's just a hair over 2 hours. It's rated R for strong bloody violence and language and some brief drug use. I really enjoyed the movie, but these movies have this habit of having someone in the group about middle ways in the movie go over all the horror movie rules. That has sort of lost its pizzazz. The first time you see it, it's very funny and interesting, but they keep doing it. Now, here's some of the stuff they say. You may not survive the movie if you have sex, or you do drugs, or if you say any of these phrases. I'll be right back, hello, or who's there? And also, they recommend that you charge your cell phone in case you need to call for help. But whatever you do, don't answer the phone if it rings, because that cannot be good. But for me, the ultimate rule is, just because you think the killer is dead, never, ever, ever means that he or she is actually dead. One of the surprising things in this Scream movie is how much stabbing that some of the heroes can take and not only not die, but continue to function and deliver some really pithy taglines. I'm thinking, after you've had your spine severed and your stomach opened up, I don't see what's funny to you. I really don't. I'm not understanding it. But if you're a Scream aficionado, there's no doubt you're going to go see this, and I'm going to expect you're going to have very few complaints. But if you've never seen a Scream movie, I suggest you see a few of the early ones to increase your enjoyment, but this one does stand on its own, so that's not absolutely necessary. My score is 4 buds, and my wife Carla hated it to the bone. She hated every jump scare, she hated every stab, she hated every blood, she hated everything, but that's just her, you know?
You know what's so funny, Lamar? If Carla had never met you and married you, these are movies she would never see.
Under any circumstances.
I mean, a lot of the movies you review, Carla's got to be sitting in the theater going, how's this my life? I would never.
She spends a lot of time with her eyes closed and telling me, be quiet, it's not funny. They cut his head off, it's not funny. She keeps saying that over and over.
Is the creepy guy that's on the phone the guy that does the voice?
Same guy.
Same guy as all the other movies.
Why doesn't Carla just let you go to those slasher movies because we're asking you to see them? Why doesn't she let you go and stay at home and watch, like, the latest Christmas movies? Because I think the Christmas movies have just started.
She's terrified that I might see it and it might be great and she might miss out. So she's willing to take a chance on being terrified and sicker just in case she might like it.
Got it. All right. Stay right there, folks. We'll be right back with the People's Movie Critic, Lamar, with more. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
And we're back on the Bob and Sherry Show with Lamar, the People's Movie Critic. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you recall the last movie that you reviewed that starred Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, it was something on Netflix. He's got to deal with Netflix. And the last one was, can't think of this, like The Game or something like that. Anyway, he gets inside a video game and he's a hero and whatever. But it doesn't matter what he does. He's great at it. He never has a – I'm sorry, Green Lantern. Forgot about Green Lantern. But other Green than Lantern. That, he's never had a problem. Yeah.
Right. Well, he has no problems at all, the rest of – I guess all of us have seen him doing those commercials, and it seemed really strange at first for Mint Mobile, the cell phone company. He was just all over the place. And, of course, their color is mint, and Ryan Reynolds is up there. And they advertised like crazy. And I'm going, geez, this is a small company. I'm surprised that he's doing these ads. They were just bought by T-Mobile, and the price tag was $1.35 billion. And out of that, it's speculated, is going to knock down something like $200 to $250 million.
Those commercials were genius, though. They were genius. They were genius.
They were
because,
so good. But
it made me want to switch. I mean, I got a company phone. If I didn't have a company phone, I don't care. If I could even get a call, I love the commercials so much. I mean, they were great. They were just great.
The thing you have to remember, though, Bob, don't be jealous. Ryan Reynolds deserves that money because he has to go home every night to that monstrous goblin, Blake Lively. And what a punishment that is for anybody.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
And they're four beautiful children.
Yeah. What a loser. What a loser.
Yeah, because she doesn't seem to be cool or anything. And they don't seem to get along. I'm sure it's terrible.
Yeah, she got no sense of humor. I mean,
she's not funny at all. I mean,
that's loser. Right. What a loser. I'm glad. You're right. I'm glad he's getting this money. $250 million. What a loser.
That'll make it easier.
By the way, he's calling. I don't know how he feels about it. That the CEO of T-Mobile, whose name is Mike Sievert, he's calling him his new daddy. I have never called a man my new daddy, but I got to be honest. If you're going to give me $200 to $250 million, you're my new daddy. I'll call you
everything
you want.
In every possible aspect at this point.
Without a doubt.
That's exactly right.
What a life. You know, he's loaded already. He's good looking. He's got that wife.
He's got everything.
He seems to be in great health. And then this drops in. I mean, it's massive money. I'm thinking back to actors that, you know, were popular when I was a kid. And I'm coming up with like Dustin Hoffman. Can you picture Dustin Hoffman all of a sudden making $250 million? Those guys, they, for some reason, this is the era of entertainers cashing in on just massive amounts of money. And the Kardashians, of course, you know, are first in line at the trough.
Well, here's the deal about Ryan Reynolds. He could easily, with his career and how big of a star he was, he could easily go, I'm not doing a commercial for a cell phone, or I'm not doing this, or I'm not doing that. But he's if you ran into him on the street, I would be shocked. Maybe I should never meet him. But I would expect him to be exactly what I want him to be. I would think that. I really think he's that guy. Because that's what the whole, he makes fun of himself constantly. And it's just awesome. It's awesome. Because he's got it all. You're right.
It's funny how some celebrities can do TV ads and they look so tacky and it's embarrassing for them. Joe Namath, we all love the Jets, Joe Namath, but when he does ads for I don't know what it is, reverse mortgage or something for
Medicaid.
Medicaid. Medicare. When he does it, it's so uncomfortable, cringeworthy, and just awful. But Jerry Seinfeld I remember years ago, he did an ad, I think it was for American Express, where he'd put the card in and pull it out at the exact moment that it turns $30. And it was the coolest thing in the world. And he was knocking down $200 million a year with Larry David that they were for the Seinfeld show. But he got away with it as a cool thing.
Yeah. No, it's all about the delivery. And Ryan Reynolds' delivery is flawless. Yeah. Absolutely flawless. Really is.
He's in on the joke. And that's the secret.
Yeah.
He's in on the joke.
You're exactly
right. Thank
right
you,
here.
People's Movie Critic. Four Frosty Buds for Scream 6. His smoking hot wife absolutely hated it. So use your judgment. Straight ahead. Everyone needs a laugh with Irish comedian Jarlath Regan. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
It is time now for Everyone Needs a Laugh, and with today being St. Patrick's Day and all, here is Irish comedian Jarlath Regan.
I may as well get this out of the way, though, but I am 22 years with my lady. I know a lot of you are looking at me now going, what the f***? How did this guy meet the love of his life at 5 years old? That's crazy. No, thanks for that, though. I met her the old-fashioned way, pre-dating apps, when you used to just swipe left and right, going through a pub. And I saw her, and I knew in that moment, I am probably not going to do much better than that. It was a beautiful moment, and a shared moment. It would later be revealed that she was looking at me thinking the exact same thing, right? And so I can tell you, right, after 22 years, there's certain things that you're going to need to know to keep this afloat, okay? You're going to need to be able to read her body language. For example, if your lady ever squints and smiles at you at the end of a sentence, that sentence ceases to be true, and the opposite is now the case. Is anybody familiar with that? This is what it looks like. Pay attention, tune in. It's a TED Talk now, okay? This is what it looks like. Yeah, Jar, I think you should go to the pub and watch the football for the rest of the day. Have a little day for yourself down there, and I'll stay here looking after everything by myself because I love doing that, don't I? Solid tip number two, never make a sound of any sort when attempting to lift up your wife. No noise is acceptable. Not even a little, nothing. And it can't look like work on your face either. You have to have a facial screensaver. There's no point in remaining silent and looking like you're in agony. You have to look like you're enjoying it. So it's a Russian deadlift. It's all quads, straight back. Look like you're enjoying toddle, 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 toddle. Slide on the bed. The urge is to drop, is it not? The urge is to drop when you get in there. Oh, don't look around for a high five. There's nobody there to give you a high five. Or there shouldn't be. Like, we're locked down for 2 years together. I was amazed. We had no arguments whatsoever. No argument. Well, we didn't exchange crosswords. In that I listened to her crosswords. And I saved mine for the cupboards in my kitchen. Anybody else do this? This is what it looks like. Yeah. I'm listening. I hear you. Yeah. No, I'm taking it on board. Okay, fine. Do the shopping yourself the next time. My mugs didn't know what the f*** was going on. But I know that it's going to be okay, but you have to be able to read silence. Like, I know the answers to a lot of my questions by the amount of silence that follows them, right? This is how it works, so this is what it sounded like during the year. I think I'm going to watch this match down the pub with the boys, Tina. Is that all right with you? No, you're right. We have the channel. We'll watch it here. It's cool. I mean, she's an Irish lady. She is an Irish lady. Let's have a cheer from the Irish people in there. Yeah. No, they understand. Like, I know Ian Stone doesn't give a f*** about the Irish. That's okay. But I will tell you, these people understand exactly how specific and particular Irish women are. Right? It's not going to be complimentary, I'll be totally honest. I assume compliments are coming. No. Well, like, I guess it is a compliment. It's like a truth cannon that's loaded at all times. It's like, they're not all Maura Higgins, but they're close to it, right? Like I say to, my wife is the only woman in the world who's ever responded to the sentence, "Babes, I couldn't love you anymore," with the sentence, "Try." It's a true story. I said to her the other week, I said, "You know, you're the funniest person I know." And she went, I was like, no, hold on. Do you think that I would remain with someone for 22 years if I didn't think they're the funniest person I know? And she said, I've managed it.
That is Jarlath Regan. And we'll post that set up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
We thought it would be fun in honor of St. Patrick's Day to take a look at some little fun facts about Ireland. Like, there are many, many, many more Irish people living in every other country in the world except for Ireland. There are 80 million Irish people who live in another country and 6 million of them who live in Ireland. Here's another one. This, the patron saint of Ireland, St. Patrick, who the day is named for, he was actually born in Wales. Guinness, which you associate with Ireland, there's more Guinness sold in Nigeria than there is in Ireland, which I did not know. Did you know that an Irishman invented the submarine?
No.
Did you know that an Irishman designed the White House? It's the architect for the White... Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. What is the national symbol of Ireland?
The shamrock.
That's what everybody thinks, but it's actually the harp. And Ireland is the only country on planet Earth with a musical instrument as their national symbol.
That makes sense because that's on every can of Guinness beer, the harp.
Yep. St. Valentine is buried in Whitefriars Street Church in Dublin. Mm-hmm. And there were never any snakes in Ireland for St. Patrick to banish, because even before St. Patrick showed up, Ireland is an island, and there's a ton of animals that are common on mainland Europe that aren't in Ireland because they couldn't swim
across the
water. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The longest coastal drive in the world is the Wild Atlantic Way, which follows Ireland's coast along the Atlantic Ocean. I bet that is a gorgeous, amazing drive. Here's something you probably don't know. The Navy in Argentina was founded by an Irishman. Hmm. And Newgrange in Ireland is 5,000 years old. It's older than the ancient pyramid of Giza. It's older than Stonehenge. Wow. Why doesn't anybody know that, right? Bram Stoker was born in Dublin and went to Trinity College, and the character of Dracula is inspired by an Irish legend. Did you know that?
No.
Can I jump in here for a second? Because you mentioned that Irish drive. I don't know if that's the one I took. I took the Ring of Kerry drive in Ireland. I rented a car, and I think it was the most beautiful scenic drive I've ever done in my life. I mean, it could take a couple of days. And I've driven Hawaii, the coast of California. I've driven a lot of beautiful, beautiful roads. The Ring of Kerry is almost unearthly. It's so gorgeous. If you're planning on going overseas and Ireland's one of your destinations, you've got to do that.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10. Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
It is talkback time. You can call us on the phone right this very second at 844-52-SHERRY. That's 844-52-SHERI. Or you can grab our free app. Look at the screen. There's a little microphone in the bottom center. Tap it and talk, and the app handles everything else.
Hi, Bob, Sherry, Max, and Doc. Nicole here from Wilmington, North Carolina. I was just listening to the ongoing Great Chili debate, and it made me think about another very polarizing argument with food. And I've found that people are usually never on the fence on whether or not hot dogs are sandwiches. People seem to have a really strong opinion either way. I personally feel like a hot dog meets the criteria to be a sandwich, but my husband, totally opposite opinion, will argue tooth and nail that it is not a sandwich. If you decide to air this, you're probably going to get some really strong feedback. It's just in my experience, but I'm just curious what you guys think. Thanks. Love your show.
I was going to talk about the crimes of Putin, but I'm glad that we're going to talk about whether a hot dog is a sandwich or not. It's just going to be just so much more fun. I think that a hot dog is its own thing.
I
get the whole sandwich thing. It's bread with meat in there. But when you go to a barbecue in somebody's backyard, you know, they'll say, we're going to have some ham sandwiches over there on the picnic bench. We're cooking burgers here. Or if you want a hot dog is always its own thing.
It's the shape of whatever bread determines whether it's a hot dog sandwich or a hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
If it's on a hot dog bun, there's no question it's a hot dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I completely agree, Bob. I understand that it's a sandwich because you're holding something between two pieces of bread. But when I hear people say things like, I'd like a hot dog sandwich, I think to myself, then you want a hot dog on Wonder Bread, right? Like if you say hot dog, that's on a bun. If you say hot dog sandwich, I don't know what y'all getting up to. I don't know who hurt you. Let me go get the doll. Maybe you can show me. But I don't understand eating a hot dog as a sandwich.
I like a hot dog that's in a very particular bun. It's kind of the same bun that a lobster roll comes in. It's got a flat bottom. It's split on the top, of course. And the hot dog just sort of lies in there and sticks out the ends. It's also cooked over a flame, and you only put mustard and onion on it. That's the way I like it. I mean, everybody has a different thing they want to put on it. As a matter of fact, our next listener is going to talk about that, right?
Yep.
Hey, Bob and Sherry. This is Dylan, currently living in Kansas City, Missouri, but originally from the Florida-Georgia line in the southern part of the great state of Georgia. And I just listened to your podcast episode a couple minutes ago, and Sherry was talking about her uncle, who said, you have not lived until you've had mayonnaise on a hot dog. And I got to tell y'all, mayonnaise on a hot dog is jam up. There ain't nothing better than it other than mustard. And if you put mustard and mayonnaise on that hot dog, you got yourself a winner right there. I love the show. Been listening since I was a kid. Y'all keep doing what you do. Thank you.
I don't know. His name was Dylan, right?
Sir.
Who's that? Yeah. I don't know you, but I do know you. I do know you, and I like you. I don't want mayo on my hot dogs at all, but I like you personally.
I'm not saying you're wrong. You may be right. A hot dog with mayonnaise might be God's gift to this world. I can't. I don't think I can put my that in my mouth.
I wouldn't do it. No, I know it. I know it.
Now maybe okay.
And that's
just
saying something. Yeah.
If it were a grilled hot dog with some char on it, and I could also have mm-hmm. some pickles. Because let's face it, I think mm-hmm. I could eat a man's thumb if you put enough pickles around it. Honest to God. I had pickle pizza the other night at book club. It was fan-freaking-tastic, right? Like, if you put pickles on it, I'll eat it. I could probably bite off and eat your thumb with some pickles. If this hot dog is hot off the grill and is charred, and there's some mayonnaise and some pickles.
No.
You know what? I've done harder things for a man. I am going to try this for this man. I will
try
it.
Here we go. I just don't like mayonnaise to begin with. A little bit here and there, you know, with a macaroni salad is fine. But putting mayonnaise and mixing it with mustard just sounds like a big gooey mess to me. I want to taste the hot dog, too, if it's a good hot dog, right?
You know what I've never been able to get right with? This is blasphemy, and I apologize in advance for the mayhem this is going to cause us. Like, there's so much on a Chicago dog that I don't know what I'm eating. This is why I can't participate in an orgy. There's just too much going on. I need to be
able to. Well, all the thank you notes also.
I mean, there's the sensory overload. There's a hot pepper. There's a hot dog. There's so many things on a Chicago dog, and it's beautiful. Yeah. It's so crisp and bright. There's a pickle. I mean, it's like a pretty thing. But
right.
I can't tell. Like, when I bite into it, it's just 20 people.
It's too much.
On a blow-up bed yelling at me. Like, I just can't. So.
Yeah, I know.
I liked your thank you note joke, Bob. It was an oldie, but it was a goodie.
An oldie.
It fit.
But it worked. That's all I care about.
I just wanted you to know that's all I recognize.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. All right. Straight ahead on the Bob and Sherry Show, I've got something for single women straight ahead. Single guys need to listen to this, too. What is the latest red flag that women are noticing men put up when they consider dating them? This is Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
I feel like, you know, mocking Gwyneth Paltrow is too easy. It's the low hanging fruit, right? But every once in a while, my girl does something where you just look at it and your jaw drops. And this just happened. She was a guest on a podcast called The Art of Being Well with Dr. Will Cole. And she described her daily wellness routine, what she eats in a day. And nutritionists, doctors, dietitians, and human beings with any inkling of sense around the world are reacting to this with disbelief and outrage. So let me run through Gwen's day. And you tell me if you're on the side of nutritionists and sensible people, or if you're like, yeah, that sounds like a plan. So Dr. Will Cole asked Gwynnie what she eats in a day. And she said that she gets up in the morning and has coffee and maybe some celery juice with lemon or a glass of lemon water because she doesn't want to spike her blood sugar. So she kicks off her day with some black coffee and maybe some celery juice. And then she exercises. She'll do, you know, like an hour of something. She said sometimes it's Pilates, and sometimes she goes for a walk. Then she dry brushes, which means she strips naked and brushes her whole body with a special brush. And then she gets into her infrared sauna for half an hour, as one does. And by now it's lunchtime. So she said, I usually have some bone broth for lunch. And then in the evening, she'll have some vegetables. She said, it's really important for my detox. So we had a cup of coffee and maybe some water with lemon in it. Then we had a bowl of bone broth. Then we had a bowl of vegetables. People have reacted to this. Doctors and nutritionists are saying, whoa, first of all, this is not enough food. Do not follow celebrities. This person is starving. Do not follow celebrities for diet advice. Sane people who are not doctors or nutritionists are going, girl, I'm sorry, what are you detoxing from? If all you've had is bone broth and veggies, what in the world are you detoxing from? And I think kicking Gwyneth Paltrow around is too easy, honestly. But that's insane to put that out there. And then, you know, you're looking at Gwyneth and you're like, oh, I guess that's what you have to do in order to be beautiful or whatever.
Okay, here are my comments. Number one, as far as the detoxing goes, unless she's on heroin or something, she's been about 102 pounds for her entire life. Number two, my wife read that to me last night. I walked into the living room and she was going, I cannot believe this crap. And I'm going, what is it? She said, listen, and she read exactly what you just read of what Gwyneth Paltrow is consuming on a daily basis. And she said, you know what this is? This is a blueprint for girls to become anorexics. This is ridiculous. I mean, there's not enough food, just like the doctors said.
Well, a cup of black coffee is not food. And all of these nutritionists and dietitians are in agreement when they say a bowl of bone broth is not a meal. There's nothing wrong with bone broth or celery juice or vegetables. It's just there is not enough food. And one person went on to say, just speaking in general about Gwyneth and Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow is promoting restrictive diets. We know these are unsustainable. They lead to weight cycling and eating disorders and pretty much what your wife said. And that it's just what's awful about it is that so many people see this and idolize her and go, well, maybe that's what you have to do if you want to, you know, look good. I don't think Gwyneth looks healthy. I don't.
Here's what I think it's really bottom line all about. It's all about money. It's driving people to her website. She knows if she says something that's outrageous about taking a stone that's warm and putting it somewhere, she's going to get everybody talking about it. And she does this periodically. This is her latest version of it. She knew. She's not stupid. And she has friends that work with her in that website, and she has friends that are intelligent people. If she said to them, this is what I'm going to go with, they would say to her, you're going to get just terrible blowback. She knows that, but she also knows that knuckleheads like you and me are going to talk about it on the air, and she gets more attention. And it's what the Kardashians have done. It's what she does. Celebrities do this all the time. There is a reason that book companies say, yeah, we'll publish the story of your life, but you've got to give us some stuff about your drug addiction, your sexual adventures and all of this, because it gets people's lips flapping.
Well, all I know is if I tried to follow Gwyneth's routine, I'd be looking for that jade egg so I could eat it. Like, never mind what else it's supposed to be doing. Right. Mama needs a snack. All right, that's straight ahead. What became of Ireland's last leprechaun? We're going to tell you that while you sip your bone broth and shiver like a little starving bunny rabbit. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's Bob and Sherry.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
Believe this.
I'm going to tell you the story of the very last leprechaun in Ireland, and I'll let you decide for yourselves if it's true. Okay, my lads and lassies? Mm-hmm. Back in 1989, something that can only be described as a leprechaun suit was discovered on Carlingford Mountain. Next to it were some very small bones and four golden coins. This hit all the newspapers in Ireland in 1989, and it was a big story, right? Skeptics said, it's a hoax. Someone's had too much to drink, and this is just a load of bollocks. But other people said, no, it's proof that there was always some truth underneath the centuries of folklore and fairy tales and legends and bedtime stories about Ireland's leprechauns. Well, one of the people that believed it was real was Kevin Woods, and he was known to many in Ireland as the last leprechaun whisperer. Now, Kevin Woods believed it was possible that leprechauns were real, but he was also skeptical. So that year, 1989, after the leprechaun suit was found, he led a leprechaun hunt. And there was all sorts of confusion. People were making fun of the leprechaun hunters and laughing at them. And of course, they never found any trace of the ancient magical beings. Did the leprechauns go into hiding? Had they all died out? Did they ever exist at all in the first place? And after a while, you know how people's attention spans are, something else hit the headlines and people forgot that they'd found a leprechaun suit and tiny bones and gold coins. And many, many years later, in 2002, Kevin Woods found next to a stone wall in Carlingford more gold coins. Where did those gold coins come from? Did a hoaxer put them there? Did Kevin Woods put them there? And then it got really weird because leprechaun whisperer Kevin Woods told the Irish press that those gold coins had given him the ability to communicate with a Carrick, an elder mythical being who served as the head of the last surviving leprechauns, 236 of them. And they were secretly living in the Carlingford Mountains area. Well, they never found the 236 leprechauns, and they never found the head of the leprechauns that Kevin was communicating with. But it started a new tradition, and every year on the second Sunday in May, Kevin Woods leads the annual Carlingford National Leprechaun Hunt through the village, and hundreds of people turn out for it. And in 2009, the government of Ireland gave the 236 surviving leprechauns state protection. You are not allowed to hunt or harm the leprechauns now. And because the leprechauns appreciate it being protected, every year, right before the leprechaun hunt, the little leprechauns leave 2,000 cauldrons all around the streets of Carlingford for the leprechaun hunters to collect and keep as a souvenir. So maybe it was all a hoax. Maybe there are some leprechauns. Maybe Kevin Woods is communicating with their leader. Or maybe he's just a guy with a great sense of humor that doesn't want to see a beloved ancient Irish tradition die out. You'll have to decide for yourself whether or not the annual leprechaun hunt is just a big old stunt or based in something true.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm not a tall person, and I'm just really glad that nobody ever called me a leprechaun whisperer, because that would really hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Look at you with the glass half full today.
Yeah, yeah.
Round of applause. Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
Now, I have to
Did the leprechauns leave any food for the leprechaun hunters? I'm sure it would be magically delicious.
I have to ask you this. Are you not kicking yourself that back in your PM Magazine days, you didn't launch a boondoggle to a leprechaun hunt in Ireland?
Oh, I would have opened up the show with little curly green shoes and a top hat. Well, welcome to PM Magazine, Sean Bigelli. What, Billy? What looking for?
That's the spirit. Yeah. For a free trip to Ireland, you damn straight you're going to dress up as one of the little people.
That's right. That's right.
So we'll post this up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook, and you can decide for yourself what you believe, how much you want to believe, how much truth you think might be in the leprechaun legend. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Fun Size Podcast, a shareable taste of the show at our website or the free Bob and Sherry app.
You know how it's a cliche about the English that their teeth are terrible, right? I mean, everybody's heard that, right? Oh, the English, what's the matter with them? Do they have dentists over there? I think I'm figuring out why they struggle with their teeth. The British version of Kit Kat, the candy, is bringing out a breakfast cereal, and it will be in supermarkets in about 3 weeks. The maker, Nestle, said Kit Kat cereal will taste of chocolate and wafer and maintain the essence of the popular candy bar. Marketing boss Sarah Forty said it had been developed to, quote, cater to customers who were looking for an occasional indulgent breakfast option that can be enjoyed as part of a balanced diet. There is no way under the God's green earth that Kit Kat, as much as it's a great candy, is part of a balanced diet anywhere. That is such corporate BS, isn't it?
The only way that happens is if you spend the rest of the day gnawing on raw broccoli and unsalted nuts.
Exactly.
It's the only way that's part of the diet.
And I got to tell you, if you've got kids in your house and you walk in with the Kit Kat cereal, especially if they're like middle schoolers, once they get that, it's crack city. They forget about Pebbles. Don't even bring up, you know, Cheerios. They're going to want the Kit Kat cereal, and that is what this Nestle company is hoping for. Kit Kat cereal, part of a balanced diet.
When my youngest was little, she made a case on PowerPoint for why she should be allowed to eat Kellogg's Crave every day for breakfast. Crave, yeah. K-R-A-V-E. It was a cookie nugget wrapped around a piece of solid chocolate.
And it's made to make you want to what? Crave.
Crave. I was like, honey, Crave with a K? This looks like a street drug. This is not breakfast. This is insane. It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, O-R-I-G-I-N.com, code RADIO10.
Leave us a talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
I have a collection of things that guys posted that totally pop the male balloons. And I'm just going to read them to you right now. The first one is, I don't want to get physical with a woman until I get to know her first and there is an emotional connection. The second one, I don't give a single you-know-what about sports. You know, that sounds like something that's benign that a guy can say. But if you're hanging with a bunch of guys and you say, I just don't care about sports, they will look at you funny. You mean there's not one sport that you like? You don't like basketball? You don't play golf? You don't like football? You don't care about it at all? You're considered an oddball.
It's socially acceptable shorthand small talk for men who don't know each other too. So
it
you
is.
Almost have to, you almost have right. to be able to say, how about them fill in the blanks?
Yeah. You know, you're right. Exactly right. Yeah. Because men do not converse as easily. And I mean, maybe this is a cliche, but I think it's true. Men do not converse as frequently or as easily as women do. So if there's five guys standing around at a party, their wives are on the other side of the room, they're not going to talk about their feelings or, you know, how their relationship is going. They're going to talk about the Boston Bruins or whatever the sports team is. This guy says, I sleep with a stuffed animal. He's a large broccoli and his name is Brock. We're very happy together. This guy says, I tear up stupidly and very easily during emotional movie scenes. You know, I do if it's a baseball movie, and we all know the ones that I'm referring to, and if it's a movie where a child or a dog is harmed or in danger or something bad happens to them. This next person says, I love my marriage. This person says, I sit down to pee. This guy says, I'm such a little girl when anything at all happens in nature. Oh, wow, look, it's snowing. Look at the beautiful trees. Oh, I'm so happy right now for this. Oh, wow, those flowers are really pretty. I want to pick them for my wife. Oh, look, a butterfly. You know, I think sometimes if you say those things as a guy, people do kind of think you're a little off. And I don't know why, because, you know, if I wake up and it doesn't happen often where I live and there's a complete blanket of snow, I'm going to comment on it. Or if it's a perfectly beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky, and the temperature's just right, which is 77 degrees, I'm going to comment on it.
I don't know why anybody would even care that what another man thought of you because you commented on a butterfly or a kitten or whatever. Like, why would you even care if some other dude was like, oh, you're like,
because most guys would not do that. Most guys,
you get to be a grown up. Don't you want to be free of that?
If you are playing golf in a foursome and all of a sudden, you know, you pull up to the tee and you say, oh my goodness, look at that butterfly. Look at the color of that butterfly. The other three guys are going to look at you like you're weird. 9 times out of 10, it's just the way it is. This person says, I'm not interested in sports overly. Don't have a compulsive need to drink or bet. I'm not bothered if a woman earns more than me. Her place is not in the kitchen. It's whatever she's wanting to make her happy. I don't try to have sex with everything with a pulse, and I don't feel a need to prove myself to outdo others. This guy says, I actually prefer to cook my own food rather than ordering takeout. And I love this one. Although I still live with my dad at the age of 26, I do not consider myself a failure, and I am not a slob. I have finished my college degree. I have a full-time job in my field. It's just that renting is simply too expensive. I do every chore that an independent person does. I cook, I clean the apartment, I do the laundry, I pay the bills. Basically, I am my father's roomie. You know,
yeah,
good for him.
It's hard out there.
That. Yeah, it's hard out there. It's hard out there. Rents are through the roof. And for young people to get the down payment for a house these days, it's very, very difficult. So there's a few guys breaking through, and I'll end up with, I love gardening. Every year I can't wait to fill my yard with sunflowers. And I have no idea really what barbecuing is all about. There it is. Be yourself. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
I just know this week is going to be better with our astrologer, Charlie King, who's going to break it down for us sign by sign. Because the last couple of weeks have been really kind of rough. But this week, Charlie?
Okay, so thanks. Things do get better. It's kind of like the astrological shift is hitting the fan kind of thing. So Pluto leaves the sign of Capricorn, which is great news for you, Sherry. But it does actually enter the sign of Aquarius, which I believe is your husband's sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a passing of the torch in that sense.
Oh, good.
For Aries, it's going to be friendships this week. They shapeshift, and whether you are mingling with more powerful types or cleaning up your social circle of like hangers-on, it's going to feel both upsetting and relieving at the same time. For Taurus, this is the start of some long-term career changes, but don't expect speed, which is fine by you probably. Transformation is gradual, so watch out for power struggles professionally this week. Gemini. Something just cannot be explained about what's going on with you right now. So, and this is like especially Gemini born between May 21st and June 1st. You may be experiencing some kind of awakening to a reality through the failure or success of the judicial system. Cancer. At the moment, forces behind your control are at the helm. So this is about learning to go with the flow this week. It's your only option. A life-changing credit matter for Cancer is pending, so make sure it's something that works in your favor. Leo, huge changes in a relationship bring a hidden secret or tension to the surface for you to deal with this week. Virgo, a week of selfless work, so your time is likely to basically be dedicated to someone else entirely. So just be careful not to self-sacrifice too much. Avoid self-sacrifice. That's to you, Bob, okay?
I have been avoiding that all my life, but it still seeks me out, Charlie.
It finds him, Charlie.
Well, it's getting you this week for sure. So eat a good, healthy diet and take extra care of your physical and psychological wellness.
Okay.
Libra. If you are a Libra and you have children of any age, you know full well that as their world changes, yours does too. but try not to give into the pressure and power struggles in that area. And outside of parenting, for Libras, this actually pertains to romance. So an obsessive love situation might arrive in your life soon.
Oh, obsessive.
Scorpio. Obsessive. Yeah. Yeah, lots of obsessive stuff coming up this month. Scorpios. Becoming really and truly self-sufficient is kind of the aim right now. And it's all about a new or a better foundation for your life. If you can be open to like an extreme change without resisting it, personal areas of your life like house and family and hometown are going to be in the spotlight and change for the positive. But for Scorpio, this is about really growing up.
Oh, wow. Oh. And Max, you have plenty of spare time for that, so that should be good.
Yes.
All right, Sagittarius.
Sagittarius, do not sign any documents without really considering the consequences, and don't take words for granted. This is also the things that you say. You need to be clear. That way, no one can use your own words against you. And any paperwork you do decide to sign because it's worth it for some reason will be forever, ever life-changing in a massive way.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay, good and bad, right? Life-changing in a good and bad way. So be careful, Sag.
Everything is choice, I guess. Yeah, the choice that you make. And Capricorn, after 14 years of whopping choices that lead to a crazy life and changing events, now is the transformation in your finances and personal values. So for Capricorn, it's about economic and material changes. This is kind of a given. And as long as you stay above the law and ethically wholesome, abundance and, you know, building unyielding inner or outer wealth is your reward.
Oh, wow. You know, I had just, after 14 years of exhausting, thankless labor, I had just decided to follow my kinfolk into a life of crime. But you've turned me around, Charlie. I'm going
to go.
Stay in a straight and narrow.
My work here is done.
Oh, we're going to get this all posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com and on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. All right. So a week of Bob toiling for others. Max, something good is going to happen to you. And I'm not going to become a criminal. I think Tony's going to feel very good about the show going forward, Charlie. This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Okay, so I got to tell you what happened on my vacation. All right. You know, I get up early and it's like 6:45 and I pull on some.
You get up at 6:45 when you're on vacation?
I can't sleep. So I said, this is great. You know, I'm going to get a cup of coffee. I'll walk through the charming Booth Bay Harbor streets with no tourists around because I'll be the only guy, right? And so I go out. There's a fantastic foggy mist over the harbor.
Oh, beautiful.
That's playing, you know, and with the boats would, you know, the fog would separate. I'd see a lobster boat. You'd hear one pull out and then the fog would come in. A little bit of sun is penetrating through the mist. It's unbelievable. It's just the perfect day. And it's about 68 degrees, 69 degrees. It's wonderful. And I'm walking through the town. And I'm looking at the art stores that are closed. I'm looking in and it's just great. I'm looking at the cute little houses. All of a sudden, on this street, out of nowhere, out of the fog comes this woman. She's about 50, I guess. A little stout, you know, and she's walking toward me. And I'm walking toward her, and I nod, and I say, good morning.
She pepper spray you?
No. I wish she had. I nod. Here's all I did. I said, good morning. And she stops. She stops cold. She goes, I've been up here 3 days. I'm getting nothing but fat. This food, yeah, it's good, but it makes you fat, this food. And she's like from Brooklyn or somewhere. I don't know.
What food are we talking about?
The lobster with the butter and the lobster rolls and all the stuff you eat in Maine. Fried clams and all of that. I went, oh, well, it sure is good, though. Yeah, it's good, but it makes you fat. They don't tell you that. They makes you fat. I said, well, you know, I guess just, you know, eat something else. She says, yeah, well, that's not as easy as you would think. And I said, at this point, I don't want to hear it. And I'm starting to become Bob, the bad Bob. I said, you know, what can I say? I'm on vacation. I'm enjoying the food. I start moving along. She says, well, what about Hezbollah? I went, what? What about what are you doing? She's saying to me, what are you doing about Hezbollah? They are out to kill us. I said, lady, I'm in Booth Bay Harbor. I'm on vacation. Oh, you're on vacation. So you can take a vacation and not worry about the terrorists and what they're doing to us or could do to us? And then it happened. And you know what happened.
You literally cannot leave your house.
You know what I did and what I said.
What did you know?
I can't tell you.
That?
Yes. And it echoed through the Booth Bay. They have like cobblestone streets. And the fog and the lobster boats. And I'm saying, you know what, lady? Well, her jaw dropped. I said it and my jaw dropped. I couldn't believe it. I wait all year long for this one week. I'm against Hezbollah. I hate Hezbollah. I can't fight them with a lobster cracker. What did you say to me? You heard me. Oh, God. I couldn't believe it. So I go back to the hotel. And I'm so fired up between the coffee I'm drinking and being excited and then that experience, I'm all fired up.
What does Hezbollah have to do with getting fat? I understand.
Nothing. She, you know what I think it was? She's used to sparring with friends or whoever. She finds herself out of her own element up in Maine where everyone's peaceful. For days, she's had no one to spar with. Along I come. And she ramps it up with the food. And then the Hezbollah thing.
Did it make you feel any better to tell her to puff? Because I don't think it did.
You know, I felt awful that I did it. But I gave her two or three chances. I was nice two or three times.
What did she do? What? How did it end?
Yeah, how did it end?
Her head shot back. What did you say? You heard what I said.
And then what?
I said some wisecrack, you know, along the lines of, what am I supposed to do, like throw lobster claws at them? And I can hear my voice sailing down the street, you know, because there's nothing to stop it. There's no
like
people.
Like a crackpot?
Yeah. I'm so wired up now. It's my first full day of vacation, and I'm so wired right now from this altercation with this woman.
Do you ever ask yourself?
All the time.
Why do I keep finding myself here? Why?
What? Like, there's no one else on the street.
There's no one else in the world that has these things happen to him.
You can, you know what? You could barely see me for the fog. And she finds me.
Seriously, Max, do you know anyone else that has these kind of episodes?
No.
Just don't eat the food. You don't have to eat the clam chowder. They do serve other things. Have an omelet. Hezbollah.
Isn't Hezbollah, isn't their color green? Were you wearing green? Maybe that it's,
no,
you know.
No, I wasn't wearing
You don't green. Have the swarthy look of a Hezbollah terrorist about you.
That's what you get.
Do you think
And you know, I've got this smile on my face and a cup of coffee in my hand. This is great. I'm alone. Oh, look at the lobster boat. Smell the ocean. Oh, I'm on vacation. Hezbollah. I mean, honestly, what can I do? I hate them. I hate them like everyone does. Well, what can I possibly do against Hezbollah in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine?
Well, it's
That's like the last place they're coming.
It's not like you were advocating for Hezbollah.
You think I was walking down Hezbollah, Hezbollah, rah, rah, Hezbollah.
Like, I wouldn't look at you and go, oh, look at that one.
Oh, yeah. He's a subversive. Look at him. I know.
Hezbollah. You can see it.
Yeah. Look at those boat shoes. Those are bombs.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
There's a Japanese exchange student who is documenting her American adventure on TikTok, and I am loving it. Her name is Yumika Umamori. She's 21. It's the first time she's ever left home, and she documents everything about American culture that's so different. She said the first thing is hugging and small talk. She said, we hardly hug our family in Japan, and strangers hug me, and I love it. And she said small talk isn't a thing in Japan, so she's been a nervous wreck about making conversation with people. But she said that I'm getting better at it, and she said that being social isn't so bad, and she's made lots of friends that way. And she also said that in Japanese, there's a formal way to talk and a casual way, and that if you're talking to someone older than you, you have to talk to them very formally. She said, but in English, we talk to everyone the same age in the same way, and I love it. I can be friends with people that are older than me and friends with people that are younger than me, and I can hug them, and it's amazing. Now, she also said that the portion sizes, they blow her mind. Like the size of a single pint of Haagen-Dazs ice cream, what you would consider like a serving just for you. It's like family size where she comes from. She can't believe the amount of cheese that gets put on a tossed salad. Right? She said, I asked my friend, is this a cheese salad? And the friend said, no, that's just what happens to a salad here in America. And the other thing she loves is, she said, I love the dating here. You're allowed to have a stage where you just talk and you're not sure if it's going to be a date or not. She said in Japan, it's like if you start talking to someone of the opposite sex, you better plan on marrying that person. It gets really serious really fast.
Really?
And finally, she said that she likes dressing more like an American girl than she did in Japan. And she said, I am embracing America and living my best life. She's been here 6 months.
I am so glad that she is enjoying it, because so often, you know, somebody comes over here and they just complain that we're loud, our cars are too big, and blah, blah, blah. The other day, I think you and I were talking about people, I believe, in Norway who said, if you're coming to visit us, welcome, but we don't get into small talk. And if you are, you know, just going up to us and we work in a coffee shop and you're engaging us, we do not like that. Of course, we do that constantly in the United States. And, you know, after hearing her, I'm proud of us that we are
loves it.
Very friendly. Yeah.
She loves it. She wants to make small talk. She wants to hug you and go ahead and put some more shredded cheese on that garden salad. Thank you very much. It's Bob and Sherry.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast and the Bob and Sherry Oddcast. We would love if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.